Well, God bless you all. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. The next few weeks, we will not be doing any downloads until our weekend is over. That give us time to prepare for the weekend. And in preparing for our wonderful weekend together, even if you're unable to attend, as a member of the one body of Christ, we can be determined for deliverance. By our prayers, intercession for the saints according to the will of God, our meditation upon the goodness of God and what the scriptures have to declare concerning God, his promises to us, and consideration of the rich promises of God. Our vision for the beloved, meaning our mission to reconcile men and women back to God, and especially our children and our grandchildren. Study to show ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth, and praising God for his wonderful works. I think we did a little bit of all that in our prayers this morning. First, determine for deliverance in our prayers and intercessions. That our prayers are and our intercessions are not just wishes and hopes, even if they're good wishes and good hopes, but they will come to pass. And that is what we need to set our hearts, set our minds to determine for deliverance, whether it's our deliverance for ourselves or deliverance for our brethren and their needs met. When I say deliverance, it's all inclusive, that they have what they need, that they may live the more abundant life, that their relationships are prospering in every category. Let's determine for deliverance. If we've been held captive, so to speak, in some situations where the talk and all these other things are not profitable for our lives, let's get delivered from them. And in our consideration of our brethren and their needs, let's be determined for deliverance. In 1 John chapter 5, the first thing is, particularly by our prayers and our intercessions for the saints, which are according to the will of God. 1 John 5, starting in verse 14, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, in God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of him." Pray knowing he has heard and he has answered. Let's be determined for deliverance. When we pray, it's not a toss of the coin and how it's going to flip. Let us be determined that what we have asked for surely will come to pass. In verse 16, it tells us the limits. Anything according to the will of God. And verse 16, "If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he should pray for it." So there's the limits. It's pretty wide open, I would think. There's only one unforgivable sin, and you cannot do that because you've already accepted Jesus as your Lord, believed in your heart, God raised him from the dead. There is only one situation that it would be a waste of time to pray for, so to speak, and that is someone who's born of the seed of the serpent. But can we pray and believe that we may have a peaceful and godly life? Absolutely. And in those cases. But let's go back to Romans chapter 8, because I do want to go over this with you one time again for your considerations, because we should consider the things of God. And when I say considerations, I'm not really talking about whether it's true or not true, whether I should accept this as the will of God or not the will of God, but in consideration of the expansiveness and the depth and the potential that we have. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it tells us, likewise, the Spirit also helps with our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That's our infirmity. Do you ever want to pray about something and you don't have the words for it? You just don't know what to say. You're thinking about someone and you want to thank God for their lives. You want to request that they're having, but you have no idea what the problem is. You just suspected that something's not right for them, and I want to get the adversary off their back, or I want to see them prosper in the things that God would have them prosper. Oh, I want their business to flourish. A number of different things that are good, loving things that you would wish for someone. I don't mean wish in wishes, but your desire for them. How's that? I want you to understand that the Spirit helps us in those particular situations, but that the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The words groanings that cannot be uttered means beyond our own comprehension and even beyond our own compassion. As much as we would feel for someone, there's something even deeper and greater that the Spirit helps us communicate, that it is perfect prayer. Beautiful. And it is always according to the will of God. And remember, we just read in 1 John 5:14, if we ask anything according to His will. And when we pray in the Spirit, when we speak in tongues, it is perfect prayer because it is always according to the will of God. You can't miss. That's why it's not a shot in the dark. That's why we know what we have prayed for will come to pass. We are determined for deliverance. And that's why we speak in tongues much in our private prayer life, as well as in for our case, English, our language, because at times I just want to state in English something about the situation or how much I love God, how much I love the person, how much, but there are things that my English will never cover, especially if I was tested on grammar. but knowing that when I pray by the Spirit, which God has given to me, is always according to His will, then I know that prayer has been heard, asked, and answered. Question asked and answered. Beautiful. So we want to be determined for deliverance in our prayers and in intercession. And then, have you meditated on the Scripture? Have you considered God? Because it's not just me. It is God, God Almighty. Matthew 19, let's go there, to the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 19, verse 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. If it were up to man, if my prayers were strictly up to me, many things that I desire for other people, that I desire for myself, would be mission impossible. But God Almighty is there. and all things are possible. But doesn't it take believing? And I don't know if so-and-so will believe, and I'll do all this prayer, but I don't know if they have the believing or if it'll be there. That is correct. You don't know, so why even think about it? Why don't we think and consider the thing we do know? With God, all things are possible. When I pray, and especially when I speak in tongues, it is always according to the will of God. And he has heard. And if he has heard, he has also answered. Why waste time considering what we don't know? Let us consider what we do know. Our God is a God of even the impossible. Consider that. Ephesians 3:20. With all things, God is impossible. God is the God of all things, and he makes all things possible. In the scriptures, it says of Jesus that his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us. That's whose name we pray in. We always end our prayer with, in the name of who is Emmanuel, God with us. Consider that when you get ready to pray. Consider that God is God of the impossible. I can't figure a way out, but he sure knows. He is God of the impossible. There's nothing too difficult for God. So be determined when you pray. It is going to be answered. It is going to be done. I'm not going to worry about the things I don't know. I will rest in the things I do know, that God is God Almighty, and he is the God of the impossible. He is Jesus, Emmanuel. He healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease because God was with him. And Christ is in us, so therefore God is with us. All things are possible, all manner of sickness, and all manner of disease. Be focused and have a vision on God's ability to keep his word. He made the promise. He will keep it. If he has secured eternal life for us, what problem on earth is going to be too baffling for him? Too difficult. With God, all things are possible. And that's why I love the Amicus Alliance, because we send the prayer requests, and I am always so very comforted because I think it's in the bag, so to speak. I remember when I was in training, every day I'd go and spend time in the prayer room. And I would look over the requests that were sent in. And my mindset, every time I'd look at them, I'd say, this one's in the bag. I'm here. I'm speaking in tongues. It's in the bag. It's going to be done. I don't know. Doesn't matter what it is. It's going to be done. That person is going to receive deliverance in whatever category. And again, when I think of our wonderful Amicus Alliance, and other men and women, ministers were focused upon God's ability to keep his word, for God with all things are possible. I've attended a number of healing situations and healing services, and I've also watched other ministries' healing services, William Branham, Oral Roberts, and some of these other things that I have watched, and these ministers were absolutely focused, their minds, that God's willingness equals his ability, and he was able to do all things. Just something. Same thing. In the record where Jesus healed all them, I wonder how many were in stage 4 breast cancer, because the scripture said he healed all. and he even raised the dead. So what is stage 4 breast cancer compared to dead? See, he even raised the dead because he was Emmanuel, God with us, and God is with us. Larry, that was Jesus. Yeah. But let's look at Acts chapter 5. Great book of Acts, and here's how the church functioned. This is what the church, with God in Christ in them, did. This is how they utilized what they had. This is the confidence that they had in God. This was their determination for deliverance. In Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, it says, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them. But the people," what? "Magnify them. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch." Now here's the believers, okay? This is not getting to believing. This is ones that believe. "Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one." Why? Because God is God of the impossible. And they believed that when they prayed, it was going to come to pass, because God is absolutely faithful to his word. That's what they held in their hearts. That's what they determined for themselves. And when they became weak in those thoughts, they restored their thoughts back to those great truths by considering what the word has to say concerning God. I understand the doctor says such and such, and I understand you listen to him. But never rule God out. Whether the doctor brings you a good report or a bad report or a sad report, never let that rule out. God is God of the impossible, and you are determined for deliverance. Even if your CPA says you're heading for bankruptcy or you're a millionaire, don't let those words determine. The scriptures say, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." And whose will did Jesus come to fulfill?
God's will.
Then God's will must be a more abundant life for you. When we pray, consider that. When you pray for someone's financial situation, consider that. Because it's easy to sit there and say, "I don't have any idea how they're going to get out of this." I don't. So why bother to consider it? I know that God desires for that individual that they might have a life that is more than abundant. That God desires that they prosper. So why don't I think on those and consider those things? He healed them all. Okay, but Larry, that's the apostles. I got another excuse. That's the apostles. All right, okay, I agree. Let's go to Acts chapter 5. I mean, Acts chapter 9. We're already in 5. I am endeavoring to persuade you with winning words of the scripture so that you receive what God desires for you and what God desires for all of us. In Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 8, Paul was on his way to Damascus, and Jesus appeared unto him, and he fell off his horse, and a few other people there, and those things. It says, "And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink." Terrible situation. And he was an apostle. And there was a certain disciple. Okay, so now we're at disciples. At Damascus, named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire at the house of one Judas, house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints." But remember, there's only one unforgivable sin that we don't pray for. Obviously, Paul had never committed that one. So it was fair game for him to pray for Paul and to see great things come to pass. And he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. I'm verse 14. Verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and children of Israel." Well, you know, it tells us a man must be called unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, obviously, Paul was one of those men that heard the call and started heading that way. "For I will show him how many great things he must suffer for my name." And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hand on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with Holy Spirit," Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. "And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized." All right, there's a disciple. So he ministered to an apostle. Let's go to Mark 16. And we'll start in verse 17, Mark 16, verse 17. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents," or if they take up serpents, "and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following." Amen. Perhaps we ought to stop trying to get out of the promises of God and his call for us and focus on getting into them, the things of God. You know, people present all these different reasons why we can't. Let's stop thinking and figuring out ways we can get out of it. Let's think and look at the scriptures and consider ways we can get into the things of God, the way we can perform as God has called us. Separate ourselves from the unbelieving world and minister believing to those who seek after God. Take time to get away from the distractions. You know, Mark 1:35, and rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there, maybe that's something we need to do to get away from the distractions of the world. Get into that solitary place and there prayed, a place where you wouldn't be disturbed. I know a lot of people listen to our teachings in their cars as they're driving along. I think you need to, that's nice to do, and I don't discourage that, but you have to take time where you can get away and get focused. Because the world will consume your mind with considerations, whether you want them or not, whether you go on a website or you watch the news or anything else, there's always something there to tell you something that degrades the power of God, something that lessens your heart toward God. And we need to be focused, especially coming up on a weekend where we're going to have our beloved brethren with us. We ought to really take the time to focus, to make sure that not one heart is missed, not one need is needlessly overlooked, but that we have focused ourselves in on this and we are determined for deliverance. Well, do you have a vision that Beloved of God Ministries is as much a ministry of God as of any that are recorded in the scriptures? See, we're not just a group of make-believers. We're not just a small group of people who, you know, we get together and it's nice that we get together and, you know, like going to a Cub Scout meeting or something. We are as legitimate and functional as any ministry written of in the scriptures. Do you have a vision of us that way? I know and am convinced, we're too legit to quit. Finally, study. Make haste. You know, the word study is spoudazon, or spoudazo, meaning to make haste because the times are urgent. Build the word of truth in your life. Make haste. Be determined. Expend a diligent effort, being aware of the brevity of time. And I'd like to close with 2 John verse 8. This is going to be a great weekend. I am so excited and so delighted to be a part of it and to join with you on these great things and see God's word come to pass, because he can accomplish even that which is impossible. He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That God is even greater than our believing. He's just made it on the simplest format for us, but he is even greater than our believing, and he knows our hearts, it tells us in John. So if believing comes from the heart and God knows our hearts, does he know how to get us to the next level of believing or the next step in our believing? He will lead us, he will direct us if we stay focused and if we are determined for deliverance. In 2 John verse 8, where am I? Okay. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Let us continue faithfully till we see it come to pass exactly the way God said it would be. Let's live as men and women who are called of God, who know and believe the love God hath to them. Bless your hearts.